Every time they pull a stunt like this, they raise the pain level, you know, one or two notches.
They have access to communications to monitor those threats. That means anything that you do in your personal life, like you now live in a house of glass, and people are just comfortable settling for that because they've been so convinced that all of these threats are real out there.
If you have money tied up in a system that's permissioned and controlled, your best bet is probably to just move on, count it as a loss, and start living from that day forward as a free and sovereign person.
They genuinely believe they have the right to play God and that everyone using their product is at their, you know, beck and call. Like, you're the slave and they're your masters. And whatever they do, you have to obey. Otherwise, out you go.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Greer and Tony here with me. Gents, let's jump right in. So our first three stories, all very much related. So from 2 days ago, the Fed was set to inject $6.8 billion into the market, and looks like they did into the repo facility. It marks the first such operation since 2020. So we already have that as sort of setting the stage. At the same time, Lutnick is talking about Trump picking a new Federal Reserve chairman, and he says they're going to bring rates down. Why does the strongest country in the world have the 34th highest interest rates in the world? It makes no sense. And then we have Scott Bessent dunking on the Fed, saying that it's turning into universal basic income for PhD economists. He says, I don't know what they do. They've never been right. If air traffic controllers did this, no one would get in a plane. So, Greer, I'll let you take this one first. Lots of stories, lots of anticipated liquidity entering the system. We've been talking about this for a long time. The big print feels like it's coming. It's here. What's your take on any of these stories? And we can kind of bat them around.
Bitcoiners have predicted this for months. You know, we know that they're going to continue printing money. There's just too much debt. We know that they're going to lower interest rates because that shows that there's growth, even though it's artificial. And I think Bessent's right. You know, the Fed doesn't know what they're doing, and they've been slow on every decision they've made. And I think, you know, what we're waiting for is Bitcoin to respond. But I think that's coming. I think in the next year, as the money continues to flood the system, as the rates become lower, you know, the inflation will probably be delayed for 12 or 18 months. But the Trump economy will look good on paper in the short term. You know, this will be like a sugar high. And we know that asset prices go up when both of these things happen. So it's only a matter of time. What I would say is, if you have been frustrated or if you're waiting, now is the time to get into Bitcoin, to learn why it can't be inflated away, why it can't be stolen from you. And I think we will be rewarded for our work stacking sats diligently in the very near future.
Yeah. My take is that I think Bitcoin is probably going to do very well in 2026 because of everything that you've said in dollar terms. I think it's going to continue being great for everything that we love about it at the Bitcoin way. I think as I look at this, though, I could see like a big price pump in dollar terms. And then I think we're going to continue to have drawbacks because the underlying fundamentals of adoption happen a lot slower than the Federal Reserve can print money and they can inject. So we're going to have like these, I think we're still going to have some of this volatility where people are, you know, jumping into Bitcoin because it's pumping, they're trying to trade. I don't think that's going to stop because we're still at such a low adoption rate. I think of like hardcore Bitcoiners who are saving in Bitcoin, using Bitcoin, spending it. So I think this could continue to go on for a couple of years because eventually we hit high inflation because of all of this. And then they have to contract the money supply and they have to, it's the same game over and over. And then the people, the lettuce hands have to drop out and the people who are, you know, taking on leverage are, you know, going to get crushed. Tony, what's your take and what do you think this means for Bitcoin?
Man, this is funny to watch. You know, once you've opted out, you know, completely mentally and financially from this disastrous system, it's funny looking at it because you know it's going nowhere good, right? Like they're running around in circles, but there's no good news whichever direction they take. The issue with all of this is that yes, for those that are holding hard assets, you know, Bitcoin or otherwise, this is very good news. But most people aren't holding hard anything. And that is terrible news. And the thing is, every time they pull a stunt like this, they raise the pain level, you know, one or two notches. And at some point, you know, they're going to start reaching more people with that pain. And that's where it starts getting really dangerous, because like you don't know how people are going to react to something like this. So yes, you know, as an outsider, you know, somebody who's holding something, you know, like Bitcoin that cannot be touched by any of this, at least not, you know, realistically, it's very good news if you're holding any hard assets, even like something as, you know, as like ancient as gold is better than having, you know, worthless paper in a bank account. But even that, man, I mean, every time they pull a stunt like this, it just makes things exponentially worse. And you mentioned that the adoption is going to be slow, but you know what? At this rate, I don't think it's as slow as it used to be. You know, like every time they take it up two or three notches, you know, that's like millions of people that are hurting. So brace yourself.
Yeah, I agree. What I meant to say is, I think that the number of hardcore Bitcoiners coming online is much slower than the amount of money coming off of the printing press. And so we're going to continue to see, like, you know, asset bubbles and then corrections as the growth of hardcore Bitcoiners continues to appreciate. And by the way, I'm going to just also comment on Bessent's take is I think that he's absolutely nailed the Federal Reserve. Like, I'm not defending Bessent on any of his other positions about anything, but it is basically universal basic income for, a few thousand PhD economists who are wrong 100% of the time with how they should manipulate the economy through the printing press, through manipulating interest rates. Like, it's hilarious at this point. Like, it's laughably bad. So anyway, we'll see what happens. My anticipation of Bitcoin in 2026, though, is I'm very bullish, which I know Greer in particular would appreciate. Okay, guys, we've got some more dystopia coming our way. So in South Korea, they're introducing mandatory facial recognition scans for purchasing mobile SIM cards to reduce scams. We have seen this sort of thing already taking place in other countries. Seems like a lot of it is happening in Southeast Asia in particular. Tony, why are they doing this?
Man, do you remember what I said at Bitcoin Prague, I think a year or two ago? That this dystopian nonsense is coming to every city on earth. They're going to find a way to lock you out of your bank account by hook or by crook. This is just one example of it, right? So this increased obsession with surveillance, you know, under the guise of your protection, is exactly how they're going to lock you out of your account at some point. And this is going to get worse. And don't think this is isolated to Southeast Asia. This is coming everywhere, man. Because they genuinely believe that they own you, right? Like, this is part of that warped mindset, you know, from, you know, that system that created this Ponzi, is that they genuinely believe they have the right to play God and that everyone using their product is at their, you know, beck and call. Like, you're the slave and they're your masters. And whatever they do, you have to obey. Otherwise, out you go. So very, very bad news for those that are still, you know, those stubborn mules that I call, that are refusing to understand this and think that, oh, somehow because they live, you know, God knows where, that they're going to be immune to this. You are not immune, my friend, no matter where you are on this planet, whether you're in Beverly Hills or somewhere in Korea, your turn is coming. And if you don't comply, well, then you're going to be, you know, on the front headline news just as well as these guys.
Tony, what percentage of people do you think believe that this is to reduce scams versus to tighten the grip?
Well, I mean, if you look at human IQ these days, I'd say a little over 50% actually believe this garbage. So, but that's because, you know, they haven't been affected by it in any negative way yet. That's why they still believe it. But when their turn comes and they're like, hold on a second, I didn't do anything wrong. You know, I'm not one of those people that you were supposed to protect others from. You know, then they start to think like, oh shit, you know, maybe these conspiracy theorists weren't so crazy after all. And then they get pissed, you know, and then it starts the domino effect escalates from there. But this is coming. I mean, this is expected. This is, you know, these are all these desperate attempts to remain relevant, because now, again, there is an exit, and that exit is an unstoppable one. Bitcoin in full self-custody. It's not going anywhere. So these people know this, sadly, and they are going to do whatever it takes. And when I say whatever it takes, I literally mean it. Whatever it takes, as insane as it might get, in order to keep as many people locked into this garbage of theirs for as long as possible.
I would tend to agree. Greer, what's your take?
Yeah, I agree. I think 2026 is the year that AI and surveillance really have to come to the forefront. And I imagine multiple world events that we can't predict today will be the cause for that. 2025 was the AI trade. You know, the stock market and equities were really fueled by investment in AI technology. And I think as we go into this next year, it's really put up or shut up time. If these AI investments are going to be viable, then we need to see real life scenarios. And so I think that the people, the tech oligarchs behind each of these technologies are going to be working very hard to demonstrate their efficacy. And so that means we will see more requirements for digital ID, biometric ID in places where you don't expect. I think what we've seen are just some tremors, but I think the real earthquake will happen in the next year. They're desperate, as you said, to lock us into their system, to keep us from using our freedom, whether it's our freedom of speech, freedom to transact, freedom to move. All of those are being curtailed one at a time. And you're right. If we divest from their system and move into Bitcoin and hold it in self-custody, that is the best weapon against this. It's totally nonviolent and it defunds their effort. So I think that we'll see, I would say, quite a big push into Bitcoin and into self-custody, into these tools that allow people to opt out. And I think we'll also see an increase in freedom and communication tools and privacy tools. So I think we're going to see, the large reaction from all of these things they're putting into place. And I think 2026 is going to be definitely a year to remember.
I think so, unfortunately, in many ways. But I'm in self-custody, so I don't care so much. Alrighty. Also, from the Far East, banks in Vietnam are closing accounts unless customers update biometrics in person. So this was on Reddit. This guy's talking about he's out of the country, used to work in Vietnam, and he's owed this money from social insurance. He has to go back to Vietnam in order to, submit his biometric information to the bank, or else he is shut out. It's all sort of the same story, but, unique, a little bit of nuance, different countries doing similar things. Greer, you have any comment on this one?
We brought this up a couple months ago, and the topic or the rationale behind this was to prevent fraud. And the point is that it could be any reason. It doesn't need to be fraud. It could be some other reason why they want to force biometric ID. I think fraud's a good one. But if you have money tied up in a system that's permissioned and controlled, your best bet is probably to just move on, count it as a loss, and start living from that day forward as a free and sovereign person. I think that, as I said a second ago, I think we're just going to continue to see this get rolled out in a variety of ways that we can't predict, but we know what they're trying to do. We know that they want us to stay in the system. Christine Lagarde at the European Central Bank years ago famously said, we need to shut Bitcoin down, and I'm paraphrasing, because if there's an escape hatch, people will use it. So I think that should be our focus today. What is my escape hatch? How can I get through it? How can I secure it and make sure that I'll be protected from whatever comes to the surface?
Yeah, sometimes they say the quiet part out loud. And to me, this is just insanity. As Tony always points out, to be expected that these are the ways that they're going to clamp down, because most people are going to show up to their bank and they're going to submit their biometric information because it is their only option. Like you lose everything if you've got all your money in the bank and you don't comply. I'm just anticipating this to migrate westward. And I didn't have any opinion of Vietnam or Thailand or South Korea or any of these places that are shutting down bank accounts, but I'm as bad as everything seems to be getting in Australia, the UK, Canada, even, trickling into the US, I'm always surprised to find out that there are other countries who are just as authoritarian as we are. Tony, what's your take?
This brings bad memories back, man. I mean, this is exactly the foundation that they're trying to put down here in order to put these people in a central bank digital currency. They needed this digital ID in place for CBDCs to work. Otherwise, there's no chance of it succeeding. So these extreme, decisions are exactly that. They are in a rush to do it, right? Like they don't want to waste more time on this because they see the writing on the wall. And so they don't care who it affects, whether you're, in the country or abroad, doesn't really matter. They will shut you down and whatever happens, happens. This happened to a lot of Lebanese guys, when the collapse took place that weren't living in Lebanon. There were a lot of Lebanese abroad that all of a sudden their cards, stopped working. So they couldn't pay rent. They couldn't pay medical bills. They couldn't do anything. They were just as homeless as those in the country, but abroad, which is even worse because over there, everything was still functioning, right? And they were expected to keep up with their bills. So this, again, I think is sort of like the lab, like the beta to see how it's going to all play out. They try it out in these smaller countries and I guess to learn from. But no one should be putting up with this. And if you have an opportunity to exit and leave, even if it's, of course, like cutting your losses, which is, of course, a very big personal decision. But in hindsight, that's what I should have done as well. If my previous self was telling me that this was coming, I would have cut my losses and started over from scratch in a system where this cannot unfold. Bitcoin in full self-custody. That is the only play. And in fact, that is why all of this insanity is happening these days.
Alrighty. Another week, another mention of UK dystopia. So the headline here at MSN is creating apps like Signal or WhatsApp could be, quote, hostile activity, claims a UK watchdog. So this Jonathan Hall, the government's independent reviewer of state threats legislation and independent reviewer of terrorism legislation, in a new report basically talked about, if you look at the new legal definition of hostile activity, these sorts of apps could fall within that category because their technology, quote, makes it more difficult for UK security and intelligence agencies to monitor communications. Tony, this is, this is scary for people who are trying to communicate privately in the UK, who already have all of these concerns about any sort of public statements they make on social media and what it might mean for their ability to remain outside of the prison walls. What do you think about this?
It's disturbing, but it's also funny because it's very clear that the person who made this decision is a complete tech moron for even including WhatsApp in this, because WhatsApp has been backdoored for a long time. So I'm not sure what's so hostile about something he's always had access to, that bloody idiot. But of course, he has no clue. But for those that are living in the UK, of course, this is very concerning. But again, the people have the power here. I don't know why so many people remain scared, and like running in circles thinking they have no option. These people in charge, they are not, enshrined in stone. You put them there, you take them out. The power, again, is with the citizens of the UK. These are criminals. These are not lawmakers. These are not fair justice people. These are criminals that are looking to lock you in and have zero good intentions towards you. Every effort to push back against this should be done at 100%. And if you're a software developer, just like as a de facto default from now on, be private, be anonymous. Do not, announce who you are, even if you're living in a jurisdiction where you think that people in power are friendly towards you. It doesn't matter. Assume everyone is an enemy or will turn hostile against you at some point. Remain anonymous, remain private, keep building these tools, keep making them better until we get to a point where no living soul can even contemplate the mere thought of trying to play God like this. This whole insanity has to be shut down. But again, you need enough people to understand that they have the power, the forces in their hands and their actions. No one should be afraid of these clowns. These are fools, clearly from a tech perspective, who understand nothing. But yet somehow they are, casting this immense fear on a population who thinks they're helpless. This is ludicrous, man.
What's amusing to me is how many people, I think if they read that sentence, it makes it more difficult for, you know, security intelligence agencies to monitor communications, would say, well, yeah, we need them to have the ability to monitor communications because of X, Y, or Z threat. And like completely miss the point that if they have access to communications to monitor those threats, that means anything that you do in your personal life, like you now live in a house of glass. And people are just comfortable settling for that because they've been so convinced that all of these threats are real out there. And are there threats in the world? Certainly. But what are the odds that all of we've been lied to demonstrably so about so many of the threats? What are the odds that the next threat that they warn us about and the reason they need to, you know, use your biometric information at the bank or to make it, you know, illegal for you to have end-to-end encrypted communication tools are valid? I would say pretty low, but the average normie out there, I think, is gonna buy this, you know, hook, line, and sinker. Greer.
Yeah, governments really hate it when they can't eavesdrop on your conversations. So, you know, they do this thing where it's correlation, but it's not causation. You know, using signal does not mean that you are a criminal, just like using dollars that are used for crime doesn't make you a criminal. And the funny thing is, and it's a little bit inverted, but when they point out things that are bad, that's really what you should be paying attention to. Those are things that they can't control. And I 100% agree with you on WhatsApp. That is absolutely backdoored and probably an app you shouldn't use. And if you are, delete it. But as far as we know today, Signal is end-to-end encrypted. And if the government doesn't like it, then perhaps you should try to replace that on your phone with a different app that you're using that might have some security flaws. So it's funny pointing people to the thing that they want to avoid by writing this article is what I think the outcome is. And, you know, imagine a day when the government says, you know, we don't like that people are using Nostr. Let's remove these apps, or let's clamp down on these apps like Primal and Damas, where you can run your own relay at home and all of your messages and notes and content is owned by you. It can't be stopped by anyone. You know, the effect of this ultimately backfires in their face. But it is funny to watch them sort of panic on these things that are outside their control.
100%. Okay, guys, false flag incoming. That's my take on this. U.S. intelligence warns that Putin intends to seize all of Ukraine and reclaim parts of Europe once under Soviet control, per Reuters. Greer, I think you said you had heard a bit about this, and Putin had other things to say. What's your take?
Yeah, I think, you know, Putin was clear. He doesn't want to go to war with NATO or Europe. It looks like, you know, his main interest is just reclaiming parts of Ukraine that were once or historically Russian. But I think that, as you said, you know, they're going to use Putin to be the bad guy. They'll turn him to be the person that we all need to be afraid of. And, you know, war in Europe, war with NATO is a major red herring. You know, the threat that they're describing here, I don't believe is real. And I think what we're being told is a story, one that will cause us to feel a certain way, to react, to throw support behind, you know, more military intervention. And I think Americans have been clear, like, we do not want foreign wars. And I think in Europe, that I would guess that they feel the same way. I think the core issue is, if you boil it down, of course, it's the money that's broken, but it's these elites who want to stay in power and want to manipulate their role to enrich themselves. There's only one way out of this situation. There's only one way, and that is to defund them and to move your money to a place where they cannot control. But I think the war drums are going to continue to pound until more people wake up and see the reality.
So for any of our more sensitive listeners, and Greer, I don't want to speak for you, but it's not that you're simping for Putin or that you think Putin's a great guy. I mean, at the end of the day, he's a politician. However, I think we have enough evidence to suggest that he becomes the boogeyman for all of the West's problems. You know, is the Putin price hike back when inflation started skyrocketing a couple of years ago. if you hear Putin's name in a sentence from Western media, you need to just step back for a minute and evaluate what sort of incentive might they have to blame Putin for something, or to anticipate that he's going to kick off World War III or something. Like, do they want to feed the military industrial complex? Is there some other, you know, gain that is to be had by politicians or the people who are lining their pockets? I think that's a fair question to ask. Tony, you have any comment on this?
Man, there's no sense on speculating on news like this because you'll never know. I mean, this is dirty politics at its finest. I mean, these are all thieves and criminals, right? I mean, and they're going to do what they've always done for centuries. It's just like lie, you know, with every breath they take and cause, you know, emotional distress, you know, to the people that are listening to them. So the logical step here is to simply opt out, you know, like hopefully don't get caught in the crossfires of their, you know, crazy decisions. But the more people that just exit their world, you know, the quicker it becomes rendered irrelevant. And again, as of 2009, every living soul has that option, and that's Bitcoin. But, you know, you need the masses to pay attention to this properly, you know, and most of them are not listening to channels like this. They're not even listening to anything. That's the problem. They're out there, you know, like worker bees, you know, distracted with 101 things that are of no use to them, you know, when it comes to things that really, really matter. So for me, this is what's most upsetting, is that those who need, you know, the education and the, you know, the bitch slap, you know, the most are not getting it, you know, and they're the ones that are literally, you know, sleepwalking off a cliff here.
I think that's well said. Alrighty, guys, last up, we've got some, so I think this is cool news. Fold is set to be included in the Russell 2000, so small cap stocks. I think most people are familiar with Fold. It's sort of a Bitcoin bridge from the fiat system. But exciting to see that these companies are growing sufficiently to, you know, that their services are being valued by the market, and they're going to begin passively accumulating, you know, from the people who are just buying index stocks. Tony, what do you think?
Bullish news, man. This is very bullish news. This is like signs that, you know, the Bitcoin ecosystem is flourishing, even though, you know, these are like baby steps from the old world into the new. I mean, the fact that these products are gaining so much popularity is, you know, is a great sign. So I hope to see much more of this, you know, globally, not just, you know, in the US. I believe this is US centric, but there are many similar products, you know, around the planet that are also getting adopted more and more. So this is good news. We're about to see like a blow up of the Bitcoin ecosystem. You know, tons of apps and solutions and ideas that no one's, you know, can possibly imagine right now because, you know, they're just not ready. But if you live in this world, it's Disneyland. It's on its way here, completely decentralized. You know, like, I mean, the future definitely is orange. There is no stopping Bitcoin. So the quicker you believe this and you understand this, you know, the better you'll sleep at night.
Yeah. Greer, I'd love your take on Fold, but I'm also curious because I don't know how this works. Do you think as these sorts of companies, these smaller Bitcoin companies are included in other indices, do you think that it makes more of a compelling case for someone like Strategy to be included in the S&P?
Oh, wow. That's a big question here. You know, I think the Strategy, they're on sort of a level of their own, right? So I wouldn't lump them in with anyone else. You know, there have been a lot of copycats this year, which have been an overall disappointment. I think with Fold, you know, they have a great business model. They have a lot of users that love using the app, stacking sats with every purchase. I think the product that they've created is really great. And going into the Russell 2000, I think is also a win because as their stock has been really volatile this year, this opens them up to new investments. And the Russell is typically one that has a little bit more volatility, especially when we go into inflationary environments. And it's a little bit, you could say, maybe riskier. But I think this is great, as you said, for Fold, becoming more publicly known. I wouldn't compare it to really any other Bitcoin company because it's different. They're not accumulating Bitcoin to grow their share price, as we've seen with, you know, the Metaplanets and the Semlers and all of the other copycats. And they're not like Strategy where they're issuing debt to buy more Bitcoin. It's really a product that provides a service. And now you can take part in that. So if you're someone who likes to invest in companies you believe in, if you're a values investor, you know, this one might be interesting to you. I think if you're a Bitcoiner, you're cheering them on whether or not you have skin in the game. And that's where I sit today. I have Fold. I'm a Fold user. I think it's a great product and a great company. So, yeah, as Bitcoin becomes more and more part of the culture, And we've probably said this before in the past, Bitcoin just becomes sort of your everyday life. And I see Fold as being a part of that story.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. Well, guys, I think that's a good place to stop. So, hey, before we wrap up, though, I just want to let everyone know listening, you need to go subscribe to our newsletter. We've got a good handful of webinars that are going to be happening in January next month. And just want to make sure everyone goes over there because it's the best place you're going to find to learn about these webinars. We've got a Q&A webinar coming up again. Tony and Natalie Brunell are going to be joining me to just answer all of your questions. So go do that. And then stick around for another minute to learn more about the Bitcoin way, how we can help you with self-custody, everything else. But appreciate you being here. Greer, Tony, always a blast chatting with you. We'll catch up after Christmas.
See you guys.
Thank you.
Cheers, guys. Merry Christmas.
Hey there. Thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.